My dear brothers and sisters, in the Gospel, St. John the Baptist is announcing the fulfillment of the great prophecy of a Savior to make ready, prepare the way, the one that God had promised so long ago is coming. God is keeping his promise. Now, the people of Israel lived in hope, yearning for that day of restoration. In the first reading and in the psalm, we heard speaking of the restoration of Israel. Why did Israel need to be restored? Because it was in bad shape. Bad shape. We can think about how many times the prophets have come to announce things that need to change, but it got so bad at a particular point that God gave his own chosen people into captivity. The Babylonian army came and conquered Jerusalem, despoiled the temple, killed and enslaved others. And those who were enslaved were brought back to Babylon. I don't think we understand what devastation that would look like. Imagine if those warlike people to our north, the Canadians, were to come down with their army and they were to destroy all of our cities, and then the ones that they didn't kill, they would cart all the way up to the Arctic Circle. Now, maybe the native Minnesotans wouldn't notice a difference, but for we Texans, we would certainly feel a difference. And imagine that we were stuck up there in the Arctic for 70 years before finally we could come back and come back to a shell that we would have to rebuild. That's the violence with which the entire Jewish civilization was wiped out by the Babylonians. And so when all of a sudden they came back, they didn't go, "What a mess." And they didn't grumble about rebuilding. They're like, "We're back. We get to rebuild. Wow." That restoration of Israel is also what God does for all of us through the coming of the Messiah. Now, Jesus came, and it's only a few years later that Jerusalem is destroyed again, totally, by the Romans. So it was not an earthly kingdom that Jesus was establishing. It was not an earthly restoration of the chosen people of Israel. He did not throw off the Roman army. They were going to come back and do even worse than what they had already done. So what is it that Jesus wants to do? He wants to rebuild the human heart. For a pious Jew, the temple in Jerusalem was everything. It was the greatest thing. It was the biggest building. It was ornamented with gold. It was the heart of their civilization. And the destruction of the temple is still such a wound to the Jewish people that when they go to Jerusalem, they go to the base of the hill on which the temple was built, and they pray there at basically what is a retaining wall for the hill, because nothing of the temple is left. And they call that wall the Wailing Wall. There they lament the destruction of their temple. But unfortunately, that temple had become for them a symbol of how good they were when they weren't so good. The temple was empty because the Ark of the Covenant had already been stolen because of their unfaithfulness in a prior age. They mourned the destruction of something not because of what it said about their relationship with God, because they had already destroyed their relationship with God. You and I need to realize there's something greater than the Temple of Solomon. And it's not a great cathedral that I could describe to you. It's right here, the human heart. That our hearts are temples of the Holy Spirit. And when you and I look out at the mess in the world, whether it's politics or the economy or the pandemic or whatever it is, and we groan for the loss of, oh, if only we could go back to what things were before, if only things were better, we're missing the point. It's in here. This is where the rebuilding needs to take place. This is where the Holy Spirit wants to build us up. And that's then what St. Paul writes about so beautifully in today's second reading. He speaks about the one who has begun a good work in you. When Jesus was walking around the temple in Jerusalem teaching, the temple was under construction. It was still being rebuilt. And its reconstruction was already decades long. The one who has begun the good work in you will bring it to completion. At our baptism, God established our soul as his kingdom. The Holy Spirit came to dwell within us. The good work has begun, but it's not been brought to completion. And whenever you and I look at one another and we want to grumble about each other's failings and faults, flaws and imperfections, we need to remember each one of us is a work in progress. The good work has begun, but it has not yet been brought to completion. And that good work that is begun by the grace of God within us and by our cooperation with that grace, well, sometimes it takes a turn sideways. Sometimes we reject God's grace. Sometimes we turn away from God to sin. Sometimes we want to build our own kingdom instead of his. But God is patient. God is merciful. God doesn't give up on us. Advent is a time to pray that you and I allow the gift of the Savior to bring that good work which was begun in baptism to completion. St. Paul goes on to say that he wants our love to increase and that we grow in knowledge and every kind of perception to discern what is of value. And that through that then we will bear a fruit of righteousness. So there, what does it look like for that good work which has begun to be brought to completion? You and I have to grow in love. To grow in our understanding of God's love for us, to grow in generosity and our love for one another, to grow in love so much that we can even do what Jesus told us, which is that even the pagans and the tax collectors love their friends, the Christian will love our enemies. I still have some growing left to do. We're works in progress. So our love needs to continue to grow. And what about that knowledge and every kind of perception? I need to learn to see the world through God's eyes, to look at things as God sees them, is to see them as they really are. And that's what St. Paul says, to discern what is of value. To discern what is of value. So let me tell you, when I graduated from high school, my classmates and I, some of us, our parents sent us off on a great trip to Europe. And as I'm in this wonderful place in Venice, Italy, that they blow glass and make all sorts of things. And one of the people who works there comes up and says to me, "I like your watch." Now, my watch was nothing fancy, but it was a nice watch. My mother gave it to me as an 18th birthday gift. So it was dear to me because my parents had given it to me. But it was nothing terribly expensive, nothing terribly fancy. But this artist who designed these wonderful things I was looking at, he saw something in it that really intrigued him. He liked it. And he said to me, as he showed me his wrist, "This is a Rolex. I'll trade you my Rolex for your watch." And I looked at him and I said, "I don't want a Rolex." And that blew his mind. What do you mean? Do you know how much this is worth? And I said to him, "Do you know how much my watch is worth?" I said, "It's not worth a lot monetarily, but my parents gave it to me as a birthday gift. So it is more expensive than your Rolex. Its value is greater to me." So he looked around and he said, "Okay, you don't want my Rolex? Pick out something here in the shop." Well, okay, I'm an 18-year-old and I'm looking at a magnificent blown glass chandelier. I didn't have much use for it. It wasn't going to fit in my dorm room at college. And all these other doodads and things, none of it. None of it. What does St. Paul ask us to do? To discern what is of value. To discern what is of value. You and I need to begin looking at things and seeing what is their true worth. When a temptation comes to us and it's a false promise of happiness, is that momentary fleeting pleasure worth turning my back on Jesus Christ? Is building up my career worth damaging my family because the kids wonder where I am? Is being so involved in all these other things worth stunting my spiritual growth because I just don't have time to pray? Discern what is of value. My dear brothers and sisters, God wants to bring this good work he has begun to completion. Let's use the graces of Advent to grow in love and to grow in our perception of what is of value.